In our nation, there's 46 million people, as we're going to be talking about our gospel, who do not have the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, how should they hear without a preacher? And how should their preacher said to be sent? So we're going to be going into the waters of Charlotte, North Carolina, going and trying to reach into the inner city and try to catch some of those black mass schooling. But like I said, we'll catch whatever schooling. And a white child can come floating along if it wants to. We'll catch him and bring him into the cooler. And so there's people being neglected in those areas. They're not even being fished after. I know a little bit about fishing. My background is fishing. How many fishermen we have in here? How many fishers we have in here? Nobody else fishing here? Man, I have to pray for this. I'm going to have to pray for this church, bro. You got to get some more fishermen in here. Well, you know, my background is fishing. I like to go fishing. I like catching. God showed me a lot of things about through fishing, about the character of a fisherman. He's got to be persistent and patient. He's got to practice fishing. And of course, that's not the message today, but I'm just trying to give you an idea of what we're going to be trying to do. We're going to be going and trying to fish in an area where there's not been fished that much. And I know about fishing, if you go to a pond and you haven't had much fishing pressure on that pond, chances are the first cast you make, you're going to catch a fish. Because there's been no fishing pressure on there. And so there's not much fishing pressure in the neighborhoods and communities we're going to be going in. And so I'm very optimistic. I believe we're going to catch a bunch of folks for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need your prayers. We're not going out at Uncle Sam's expense. We're going out at the church's expense. And so we're looking at other churches to partner with us to help us go out there and catch those men for Christ, those women for Christ, those boys and girls for Christ. Right now, we've been sent out of my home church, Berean Independent Baptist Church, and we have been sent out at a third of our support. We thank the good Lord for that. And since November, I resigned from being the pastor there. We are at 81% promise. So we're getting close. So we're looking at other churches like yours to partner with us so we can get out there and get fishing for the men and women for the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you pray for us if we attempt to do that? I'm looking to be on the field. Well, we moved to Charlotte. I'm looking at starting a church by the end of this year. And so you pray for us. I want to let you know I don't have any time to waste. It is this August. Next month I'll be 64 years old. I'm asking the Lord if he gives me 15 more productive years. I want to shake the world for Jesus Christ. I'm not retiring. No, I'm getting fired up. And so we want to get out there and get the job done. So pray for us, and I may have some more to say about what we're going to be doing as the message unfolds. But at any rate, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I don't know, Josiah, we got a slide up there? Got a slide? All right. But if our gospel be hid, now notice here, let me talk about our gospel, but if our gospel be hid. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we want to start at verse 3 and get down to verse 7. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and Pastor, I hope you allow me just this privilege to have the church stand. I believe that, you know, we thank God for the Word of God that we have in our King James Bible in our language. Let's stand. You know, thank God. Hey, if you got a King James Bible, you ought to thank God for it. Over 65 million people died because of that, for this book. Down through the history of time, folks, just dying that God used to preserve His Word. Without error, you have a King James Bible. It is the Word of God in our language. There are 7,000 languages that don't have the Word of God in their language. 7,000. Oh, we ought to be praying and asking God to raise up translators to translate the Word of God in these languages. As your pastor did out there translating the Word of God in the pidgin language. Stop and think about it. 7,000 languages don't even have the word heaven. Don't have the word Jesus Christ. I mean, don't have nothing about the cross and nothing like that. They need to hear the Word of God. But we have it. And thank God for it. Thank God for that King James Bible that you have. Thank God for it, and thank you for standing. Let us read our scripture text, and then we have a word of prayer. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and starting at verse 3, the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the glorious gospel. Lord, thank you for its power to save and change lives. Now, God, help us as we have this treasure to take it to the ends of the world, that other men and women, boys and girls may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do pray that you will encourage the saved. And Lord, I pray that you will convict the lost, that they might come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, come on down and meet with us. And Lord, visit with us. And may we leave here a challenged and changed people. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Paul talks about, but if our gospel be hid. I want to talk briefly about our gospel. You see, Paul talked about a gospel that he had received that was not taught to him by man, but it was by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I neither heard it by man, neither did I receive it by man. And he talked about this gospel. He warned the saints in Galatia. He says, you know, I marvel that you are so removed from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another. And really, you see, he talked about another, but it's really not another gospel. We only have one gospel. And Paul talked about that gospel that he had received, and he talked about how he preached about it. And we're going to see what that gospel here is in a moment. But I want to let you know that if you're saved this morning, you're saved by the gospel that Paul preached. And we're going to see that gospel here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But Paul says, but if our gospel be hid. Now, there are many gospels out there, but it's not our gospel. Gospel means good news or glad tidings. And what is our good news? What is our glad tidings? I mean, and what does it do for us? Well, I'm going to talk about three things. One is, what is our gospel? What it does, what our gospel does. But then, number three, why is our gospel hidden? But first of all, Paul talks about our gospel, but if our gospel be hid, what is our gospel? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now, if you're saved this morning, you ought to just be so excited about what you have. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm going to let you know, if you're saved this morning, you're on your way to heaven. First thing that ought to happen is you ought to be happy. Now, some of you are going to have to work on it because it's like, I'm saved. I'm like, man, if you're saved, your face ought to change a little bit, man. You're going to heaven, man. Paul says here, notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, are you there? Do a grunt or something. I like to hear pages turning, right? Now, if you're the high-tech geek and stuff like that, you got an iPad, all right? Okay, you got the Bible on some type of electronic device. I want to let you know I can't hear you turning. So I can hear everybody else go, right? So I can hear that. You got it, right? Now, if you got one of those, you know, sophisticated gadgets, okay, no problem. But I need you to do me a favor. If you have to swipe that thing, I want you to go. Rip! That way I know you're turning. Rip! And if you just get the verse up real quick and you just go like that, I want you to go ding. All right? Now, the rest of you got the regular Bible, so you know, I want to hear you turning. When I say turn here, and then if you got one of these electronic devices, I want to go rip, ding. Okay, well, are we on the same page? All right? You guys not? Okay. Now, you guys have to work with me now. Now, you can make this sermon longer than what I intended. You know, I hadn't been pastoring since November. You know how many messages I've gotten in the last, 9 months? And I ain't had no one to preach it to? Is that my wife? I got a ton of sermons in my head. And so it's like this. I got this one here I think the Lord wants me to preach. But if it looks like it's not working, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, well, that one ain't working. Let me put this one out. All right. And I start preaching that one. That one not working. I pitch that one. Go, well, let's go here again. Man, no, 15 messages later, you're getting on board with me. So if you just get on board with me now, we'll be able to get on through with this thing here. Because we're talking about our gospel. What is our gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right, give me a rip or a ding or, okay. There we go. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are what? Saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, Paul talks about our gospel. What is it? Now, we have to be very meticulous when it comes to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings salvation. And sometimes we, in our haste, and you know, we're such a fast-paced society and stuff like that, man. We just going. And then when we give the gospel, we're just trying to give it out real quick. And sometimes we will omit something that's very important. So I've heard people say, well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is not the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins. And that He was buried. He was buried because He was dead, and He rose again and was seen because He was risen from the dead. You see, when we say that Christ is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, but there was a purpose behind His death. And when you admit that He died for our sins, you are omitting the blood atonement. We heard a saying this morning about the blood. Amen. You are omitting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there have been a lot of people who died, but only one who's died for our sins. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. His name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God that He's Lord. Amen. And it was Jesus that hung on that cruel cross for your sins and mine. He literally died. He gave up the ghost, shed His blood for our sins on the cross. And all of our sins, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins, were nailed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, it was bad news for Jesus, but it was good news for us. He bore in His body our sins on the tree. The Bible said He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He literally took Willie J. Bird Jr.'s place on the cross and died as Willie J. Bird Jr. Amen. To what end? That I might have life. Amen. And His glorious resurrection, that is, when He got out of the grave, I did too. Amen. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you are saved, that's good news. You see, it's good news that I don't have to die and go to hell and pay for my sin. That's good news for me. Amen. And then it's good news for you. You don't think it's good news? The next time you're at a barbecue, you ought to do a little object lesson. I grew up in Pensacola, Florida. We had bullies and gangs during that time. They weren't not like what they are now, but we had bullies and gangs back during that time. And these guys, they thought they were tough, man. They would take a cigarette, and they would put their arms together, and they said, "We're tough." And then they'd drop that cigarette off in there and see who flinched. And you can see these guys, they're walking all, man, they got their little battle scars all up and down their arm, man. "I'm tough. Look at this. I'm tough. And cigarette burns. Hey, I'm tough." I said, "Okay, I tell you what, you think you're tough. And have you ever seen one of these electric charcoal starters? You know, you plug them in the wall, and it's got that little metal thing, and it gets red hot. You guys remember seeing one of those? Every time I grill, I thank God I'm not going to hell. Man, those red hot coals, I said, man, you think you're tough? Take one of those things and drop it down in there and see who flinches. In hell, everything's going to be on fire. Your eyelids, your tongue, your nose, everything about you is going to be on fire for all eternity. You can't pass out. You can't die out. Man, I thank God Almighty I'm not going to that place called hell. And it's all because of one name, Jesus Christ. Amen. He went there for me. Amen. And He went there for you. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you ought never ever get over your salvation, because our gospel is this. That Christ died for our sins. How do we know? According to the Scriptures, that He was buried. Well, He was buried because He was dead. You know, Pastor, you know, you got some of these nuts that go off to seminary, don't learn anything. It's really a cemetery. They go off to cemetery. And they got these nuts out there saying, well, Christ really didn't die. What do you mean He didn't die? Well, we know. It's impossible for Him to be raised again from the dead. So eventually He didn't die. Evidently He didn't die. He swooned. That's what you mean? He swooned. He passed out. And then when they lowered Him into that cold tomb, He revived. And it was like a resurrection. I said, man, that's crazy. You know, so my Bible says that He died. Hey, if you bury someone, eventually they will be dead. I said, well, okay, he swooned, then he passed out, then he revived. What happened after that? Well, what do you mean, what happened after that? Well, we don't really know too much about that. Well, I know my Bible says he died for our sins. Amen. My Bible says he was buried because he was dead. My Bible says that he rose again from the dead. Amen. My Bible says he went into heaven. He sat on the right hand of God. Amen. My Bible says he's coming back one day. Amen. Man, that's good news. And listen, if you're saved this morning, you have a fall on your face before God. Say, Lord God, thank you that you're not giving me what I deserve. Because all of us deserve to die and go to that place called hell. What is our gospel? It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, his burial, and his glorious resurrection for our life and our justification. That is what our gospel, well, what does our gospel do? Turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Let's move quickly. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. All right, I'm going to have to talk fast. That means you have to listen to fast. Now, I want to hear some riff or ding or, all right, okay. I didn't hear no dings yet, so that means you're not there. Or I'll do it for you. Ding. Okay. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What does our gospel do? Our gospel does two major things. Our gospel, first of all, it has power to save those that are lost. And then our gospel has power to transform lives. Amen. That's our gospel. I'm here to tell you, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. What does our gospel do? Where it has power to save us. It has power to save, get this, everyone that believes. When we go back to Romans chapter 10, I want to visit that just for a few moments and give it a couple of licks. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and let's look at verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, our gospel does two major things in a person who believes. First of all, it has power to save them that believe. Now, it's important for you to understand, it has power to save them that believe. That believe. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know, Pastor, I get very leery when a church posts that they had 843 people saved and that church didn't grow by one member. Not one. Not one. Not one entered into the waters of baptism. Not one had a transformed life. I got a problem with that. The reason I got a problem with that is because my Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hey, you cannot encounter Jesus Christ without being changed. Amen. You're looking at one. My wife can tell you I've been changed and still being changed. Romans chapter 10 I asked you to go to, right? Are you there? Romans chapter 10. And we'll start at verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt pray in thine heart. I mean, that's what we tell people to pray, right? That we go pray this prayer. Nothing wrong with praying the prayer, but hey, need to be saved. He says, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall what? Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Look at verse 10. For with the heart, man prayeth unto righteousness. Is that what the Bible says? I mean, that's what we're saying. My Bible says, for with the heart, man what? Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Get this, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is risen to all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to put verse 13 in context with the rest of the verses. You see, listen to me this morning. God doesn't save you because you asked him to. God saves you when you place your faith and trust on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Don't put your faith in your prayer. Put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, a lot of people are praying a prayer, pray this prayer. But in essence, there's true, genuine faith in the finished work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a vain prayer. Anyone in his right mind wants to go to heaven. I said, anyone in his right mind. These are nuts out there that want to go to hell. That's crazy. You mean to tell me, you want to do what? I want to go to hell. You want to go to hell? Yes, I do. right, here, good luck with that. I ain't going. Man, I tell you what, I'm allergic to pain. It makes me break out in tears, man. Man, I'm not going to hell for nobody. I'm not going to hell for my friends. These people trip me out. I'm like, I want to go there. All my friends going to be there. I said, I tell you what. Get all your friends together and let's go to the dentist and get a root canal. It was crazy. Man, my friend said, I'm going down to the dentist. What? I'm going to get a root canal. Want to come with me? Let's go party. I said, man, go by yourself. We're talking about a root canal, let alone hell. You see, our gospel has power to save those that believe the gospel. And we must be effective as we're going out and telling people about this glorious gospel. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. I'm just trying to help you, soul winner. As we go out, let's be effective in giving folks the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, listen, you're saved when you place your faith and trust in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me this morning. You can know how to be saved and still not be saved. You can know how to be saved. Right? It's just like knowing how to bake a cake. How to bake a cake, yes. What type? Lemon. I do a lemon cake. Okay, when was the last time you baked one? Well, I never baked one. I just know how to do it. See, I can't eat till I know how to do it. I can eat when you've done it, amen? So listen to me this morning. Our gospel, Paul says, now get this. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, and let's come on down to a close here, and I want to spend the rest of the message on this point number 3. You then 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Now, I want you to notice something here this morning. Paul says this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God, notice that's a small g, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We know what our gospel is. We know what it does. It saves a person from a place called hell, and it also has power to transform a life. And man, I tell you what, we're going to be talking more about that during the camp meeting, about this transformed life. And we're going to talk about how it begins. But this morning, we're looking at why is it hidden? It is hidden. It is hidden because the God of this world had blinded the minds of them, the Bible says, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We have the number one reason why our gospel, this treasure, is being hid, and it's because of one called the devil. I'm here to tell you the devil will use saved people to keep the gospel hidden. The devil will use anyone he can to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ hidden from this dying world. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Let me move quickly. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter number 13. We have the parable of the sower. In Mark's gospel, we know that this same parable is known as the pattern parable, meaning if you can understand this parable, it is the key to unlocking the other parables that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. But in Matthew chapter 13, are you there? We got a couple of rips, dings, okay? All right, there we go. Matthew chapter 13. And let's start at verse 3. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. The Bible says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell in the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And then what happens? They talk about why you speak to them in parables. And Jesus gave the answer to that. But then they wanted to know what the interpretation of the parable. And I'm so thankful that they asked the question, because in God giving them the answer, he gives us the answer too. Because I would have had no idea what he was talking about had Jesus not explained what this parable was. So let's look at the explanation. Look down in verse 18. Are you there? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. The Bible says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." Underline the wicked one. Underline that. Because you'll find the same parable in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. And each one gives a little bit more insight of what's going on here. It says, "Then cometh the wicked one and does what? Catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." Did you get that? In his heart. The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." It's not just with the head. You got to get it into the heart. This is he which has received seed by the wayside. All right, let's go to Mark's gospel. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. For time's sake, let's move real quickly. Mark chapter 4. What we're going to do is we're going to pick up on the interpretation of the parable. It's the same parable, but you're going to get a slightly different insight into it. In Mark chapter 4, are you there? In Mark chapter 4, we'll start at verse 13. Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. Well, let's look at verse 13. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth what? The word, right? And these are they which, and these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they have heard, what happens? Satan cometh." See, in Matthew's gospel it says, "Then the wicked one." Then in this gospel it says, "Then Satan." He's identifying who the wicked one is. He's identifying who the fowls are. He says, "Then Satan cometh immediately and taketh away that which was sown in their hearts." Let's go over to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke chapter 8 real quickly. Luke chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 11. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is what? The word of God." See, we're seeing what the seed is. I want to let you know there's nothing wrong with the word of God. It is the soil upon which the word of God falls. There's nothing wrong with the seed. We say that he that sowed the seed is the word. Then we see here it's the word of God. And then we see the wicked come, then it was Satan. Now listen to what Luke's gospel says. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 8. Let me get there. All right. Now look at verse 12. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. "Those by the wayside are they which hear, then cometh whom? The devil." You see, it was that wicked one. Then Satan is the devil. It's the same person. God just identifying who it is that's catching away the word of God in their hearts, lest they should do what? Believe. Then Luke goes on to say, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should what? Believe and be what? Saved." The fruit here is salvation. I'm here to tell you there is a being called the devil that hates you. And he hates me. And I won't let you know I hate him back. Amen. Hey, you ought to hate the devil too. This is the one time you can hate someone and feel good about it. Amen. I feel good about hating the devil. He hates me and I hate him too. Feelings mutual. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you are lost, you're exactly where the devil wants you. It is the devil that don't want you to listen to this message. It is the devil that don't want you to respond to this message. It is the devil that's trying to blind your mind, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into it, and you believe and be what? Saved. Amen. The devil hates you. And these people that make a compact with the devil, they made a bad decision. But who wants to save you? God Almighty. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The devil wants to keep you lost if you are lost. And if you are saved, the devil wants to make you ineffective in seeing other folks saved. You see, the devil, he is the one that's trying to catch away the word of God. That's why you have a nursery, and that's because you want to cut down on distraction. And I could tell you a lot of things about what the devil does. Josiah, give me the last slide there. The devices of the devil, is it up there? That's what it does. Move on to the next one. Go all the way down to the devices of the devil. Right there. Go back. The devices of the devil. Man, I wish I had put it in a different color. But we got down there: deception, doubt, distraction, discouragement, distortion, destruction, the dimming of the believer's light, and we're going to talk about several of those. How does the devil keep the gospel hidden? Well, he works on lost people, and he works on saved people. We just saw him working on lost people in Matthew chapter 13 while he's trying to catch away the word of God that was sown. Hey, when Pastor McGovern is preaching, you ought to do whatever it takes to keep yourself in tune with what he's talking about. Amen. I've been at this stuff for over 30-something years. I know when people come to church, their bodies are here, but their minds are checked out. And some folks, they'll be up there just doing the Christian nod. Some do the real Christian nod. Every now and then I'll say something inaccurate just to make sure folks are not sleeping on me. Just like you heard me do that already. I said, okay, that everyone that prays, you said, no, that's not what the Bible says. No, the Bible says believe it. Right. So from time to time I'll say something, and if the person's not in tune, but they're trying to pretend like they are, they're trying to trick me, they're like, yeah, I say something false, and they go, amen. I said, there ain't no amen to that. That's wrong. What's the devil trying to do? The devil's trying to get your attention. You know, folks come in and they'll play with the baby. They're, hey, this thing about texting. Hey, you know something? God don't need an iPad to communicate with you. All right? He communicates through his word. Amen. And in church, that is not the time to be texting your friend and playing and stuff like that. That's the time to pay attention to what the Word of God has to say to you as a believer. Of course, if you're lost, so that you can get saved. Man, so cut down on those distractions. Man, turn the thing off. Amen. I mean, if you say, I just got to do it. Turn it off. Leave it home. Somebody might call me. Well, you missed the call. We didn't always have this. Right? We didn't always have this. And there was a time, you know, you want to call someone, you went, hey, Jerry! And then you got a little can with a string. Hey, Jerry. Now you know we got a telephone. And this is good, but man, listen, don't let the devil use that as a distraction. He just tried to distract you. He would try to deceive you. Money has deceived a lot of people, but I could spend hours talking about money. And it's deception. The Bible talks about, you know, be very, very careful. Money has a way of making itself wings and flying away. It's amazing. We're making more money now than we ever have made, but then we're complaining more than we ever complained to. The deceitfulness of riches, the Bible says, choke the word, and they become unfruitful. Some people will not get saved because they think if they get saved, they got to give up their money. And money's just to be used for the glory of God. Amen. But the devil works on saved people. And what the devil tries to do with saved people, he tries to get them distracted from their purpose of being on the planet. We're going to be talking about that during this family camp. He says, oh, now you done told me what you're going to be talking about. I ain't coming. No, you need to come. Amen. We want to talk about your whole purpose of being on the planet, climbing that mountain to a place of total commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where God wants you. And I tell you what, there's no better place to be than in the center of God's will. No safer place to be than in the center of God's will. Amen. But at any rate, the devil tries to do a bunch of things to the believer, but three tools he uses on the believer that is very effective. One of the first things he tries to do with the believer is to get them to doubt God's word. You read your Bible, and the devil will say, that can't be true. But hey, if it's in the book, it's true. Now, there are times that lies told in the Bible, but it's true that the lie was told. For instance, Satan said, I'm going to stand up above the stars of God. That was a lie, but it's true that he said it. Are you with me now? Did I lose anybody? So I can beg on this Bible. For instance, I've had folks come to me and say, Brother Bird, I got a question. Most of the time when folks come to me that way, I'm like, uh-oh. Spiritual antennas go, boop, boop, boop. I got a question. Now, in one place, it says Jonah was swallowed by a whale. But then, in another place, it said Jonah was swallowed by a fish. Which one is it, Pastor Berg? I go, it was a whale fish. One of a kind. You didn't find all those fish like this throughout the whole ocean. God said he prepared it. Amen. So was a whale fish. I have no problem with that. If they want to have a problem with that, go ahead on. But I'm going to believe the book. Amen. So the devil works on Christians to get you to doubt the word of God. When the Bible says Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he meant that. Amen. The Bible says that he spake this word into existence in 6 days. He meant it. Amen. He didn't have to take no long process of time. These evolutionists trip me out, man. Those guys are nuts. In the beginning, gas. So who's making it? Who's eating all those burritos? My Bible says in the beginning, God. Amen. So he works on the Christian to get him to doubt God's word. Then he does this other deed. He tries to discourage the Christian. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't you know we as God's people, we're supposed to be having the greatest time on the planet. We're supposed to be the happiest people on the planet. We're going to heaven, amen. But you know what the devil does? He discourages God's people to where they're so complaining, they're so miserable, they're walking around grouchy and irritable, obnoxious. Here it is, the Christian wakes up. He wakes up in the morning, spring-loaded to grouchy. What's wrong with you? Give him coffee. You give him some coffee. Not enough cream. All Saturday. And then it goes to a person's lot. But Jesus loves you. It's lost. He said, man, listen, I don't need Jesus to be that way. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Where's your joy? Where's your happiness? You're going to heaven. My wife and I, we relocated to Charlotte. One of the first things we observed when we put us in the house that we're renting, there were some bullet holes in there. And you know people are mad when they shoot on top of the house, man. They went up there, we had a leak in there, somebody shot down on it. I don't know, man. My wife said, honey, I don't know if we moved into the right area. I said, well, honey, listen. Something's going to have to kill us. I said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Hey, if Christ doesn't come back and rapture us out of here, we're going to chase something known as death. Other believers have done it. My Savior, Jesus Christ himself, our example, who for the joy that was set before him. Amen? Went to that cross, being beaten, spat upon, stripped of all his garments, and he said, that's all right. I'm doing it for Willie. Amen. And you can put your name there too. He did it for you. He says he has chosen not only for us to believe on him, but for the suffering for his name's sake. So I tell my wife, I said, something's going to kill us. God reminded me the other day. He said, you know, I was getting up. You know, most of us, we get up and we pray for safety. Yeah, I don't do that. I'm sorry. I mean, I do it. I was praying for God's safety and protection. You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, Willie, you know, one of these days I'm not going to answer that. He said, one of these days I'm going to take you home. And I got to think, I said, that won't be so bad. All right. You see, those terrorists would have a hard time with me. I'm going to kill you. I said, what? Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're going to send me to heaven? You're going to send me to see Jesus? To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord? Go ahead and take your best shot. Hey, listen. We need to have a new attitude in this thing called life and death. Because we have Jesus Christ, we have life. Amen. And we're supposed to be enjoying this life that we have. Listen, if your jaw bell is broken, you need to get it fixed. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord God, fix my jaw bell, because you're not going to influence someone to Christ if you're bellyache and complaining and grouchy and all of that. I was told many years ago, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But the thought came to me, if you make him thirsty, he'll drink on his own. One thing about salt retains water, and salt makes you thirsty. And Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, amen. He also said, ye are the light of this world, amen. He said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the Bible says, God is glorified when we bear much fruit. Listen to me. The devil
wants to discourage you, but then the devil wants to dim your testimony. He wants to give you a dim hope of life. Listen, these elections and stuff like that coming up, man, I'm praying. I mean, man, I ain't even sweating that. But one thing I determined, I don't care who's elected, I'm going to shine for Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think that the answer is in God's house, not the White House. It's in God's house. We can get a lot done right here. Falling on our face before God. Praying for God's will to be done in our lives. Praying for God's will to be done in the lives of others. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil wants to stop that. And if you're not careful, he'll use you. You'll walk around doom and gloom with no joy. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Why is our gospel hidden? It is hidden to them that are lost because the God of this world, he is blinded. And he's trying to use people just like you and myself to keep it hidden. Let's not let that happen. Let's let our light shine. Amen. Man, I tell you what, I don't care how bad it gets for you. You're still going to heaven. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for being patient. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around.